Amen. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. First, I want to give honor to God, who is the head of my life, to Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of my life, who sought me out because I didn't have sense enough to seek him out. So he had to seek me out. All right. And then I want to thank God for the Holy Spirit. It's that indwelling spirit on the inside of me that guides me. When I would make decisions based on my feelings, based on my emotions, that inside Holy Spirit guides me into righteousness and truth. And it helps me not to be stupid. I mean, I just want to put it in simple terms. It helps me not to be stupid. I bring greetings to the pastor of this great church today, Pastor Kai, who preaches 100% word. And if you're in this church, you're in the right place at the right time. So thank you for another preaching opportunity, and to his family as well, to all the elders of the church, to the hard workers of the church, Patty, who reads, and people who do food pantries, who don't think it robbery to take a minute out of their day to make sure that people who are less fortunate than them could have something on the table. So I thank God for this church and for all the ministries that are involved. Patty read for you today. Thank you, Patty. She read for you the Gospel of Matthew. I believe Matthew was like a tax collector, so a lot of people didn't like tax collectors back then. So Matthew writes this book, and in his book, he tells about, because he's a tax collector, he's kind of used to keeping up on where people are. Because if you're a tax collector, you have to know where people are so that you can get their money, okay? Because when tax time comes, they will try to sneak away. So Matthew writes this very detailed account, and he keeps his eye on this baby named Jesus. And so today's sermon is called Get Away. Get away. We need to get away from some things, and I'm going to talk about some things we need to get away from, and I'm going to talk about some things we need to get away to. So you're getting away from, and you're getting away to. Amen. A woman, when she's pregnant, when she's getting ready to have the baby, she goes through the pain known as labor. She goes through that labor, and I've seen it in my own family, and it's a bad thing. But after the baby is over, the labor is not mentioned. The labor is not mentioned, and all attention is on this beautiful baby. So some things, once they're over, you want to get away from them, and you want to enjoy the beauty of it, all right? But there are some things that when we're delivered from, even though we want to get away from them, we want to get closer to the one who delivered us from the evil. And that's why we say deliver us from evil. So when we have trouble and when we're delivered, we may not look back. But sometimes it's good to look back so we can reflect on where God has brought us from. And so today, the Holy Spirit has led me to share some personal stuff with you all. And one of them I'm going to pass around is a bill that I have. And I keep this bill in my top drawer of my desk. And on it, you'll see what it says. It says, remember when you couldn't pay this bill, thank God, bless the name of Jesus. It's not a lot, but I couldn't afford it. So I'm going to pass that around. All right. And I keep it right in my top drawer. So every time I go in that drawer to get a pen, I see it. I'm reminded of how good God is. Then I had a situation where I got this guy who has like a mobile car service. He'll come when you are and fix your car. He's supposed to be real good. And so he was changing the brakes on my car. I see Michael
looking at me
like, you should never trust those people. And he was fixing the brakes on my car. And when it came to getting one of the lug nuts off, he couldn't get it off, it just kept on spinning. But this happened to be the brake, Angela, that was the noisiest, and it grinded. And at that time, I worked in Virginia. And so I said, what's the solution? You can't get it off. Oh, well, come back tomorrow. Well, I'll work tomorrow, can't come back tomorrow. Well, when you can come back, and I'll bring some tools. And he said he might mess up my wheel. And I'm like, I don't want that. So I had to drive back and forth from Virginia with that grinding noise, and it was squeal when I broke. I was embarrassed. I was so frustrated. Until one day, I was riding near Laurel, and when I was riding near Laurel, I saw something said service station, and I stopped. And it was a man in there who was very elderly. very elderly, okay? And I said, can you help me? I said, I'm in bad shape. I said, I can't get this off. And he looked at it and he shook his head, never said a word. He went and got somebody else and he got some fire and put some fire on that lug nut, and in a second it was off. So I gave him the job of changing the brake, even though I paid the other guy. I remember the frustration of hearing that noise, Claire. So I also keep that on my desk. I keep that nut on my desk to just remind me how good God passed that around. When you finish looking at them, they're going right back on my desk, all right? Because some things help keep you humble as God elevates you, okay? Some things keep you humble. So although Christmas is gone, the celebration of Jesus' birth should never leave us. As a matter of fact, the name of our church is Holy Nativity, referring to Jesus' birth. So whoever founded this church and had the task of naming it, named it after a momentous event of Jesus' birth. Now, I know it's important that Jesus died, and I know the resurrection is paramount because our faith is built on nothing less than Jesus' righteousness, and Jesus rose, and that's what brings us our salvation, because we too shall rise. But first, he's got to be born. He's got to come here and stop all the naysayers who said, you can't live a holy life. You can never please God. Jesus came here and said, yes, you can. And he came here just as humanly as you and I are. He thirsted, he drank, he was hungry, he made wine, he went to wedding feasts, he had friends, he was with sinners. Jesus came here and said, I can live a pretty decent life. And he proved that to us. So let me set the scene that you may have in your mind, that Jesus is in a manger. It's quiet. And you know how the Christmas songs influence how we feel about the Lord. Like, we three kings, we think it's three kings. Could have been 20 kings, but we think it's three because the song says, we three kings. And then the song that says, no crying he makes. So we think about Jesus being a different kind of baby. He's laying in the manger and he's quiet. Well, I really don't care if he's quiet. I don't. But I know one thing. He did not have a hospital room like you and I had. I know that it was not sterile, okay? And I know you need a sterile environment for you medical people in here. Jesus is in a barn. And there are animals in the barn. And you know what animals do when they enter the barn. And you know how it smells. And so you have a little baby just being born. And you want it quiet so the baby can sleep. And you got lambs making noise and all other kind of animals on the farm that are making this noise. And here's Jesus, the Savior of the world, because nobody had a room for him. All right? So I just want to set the stage so that it's real. The second thing I want to share from you is that there was a guy named Herod, and Patty read it for us. He had political paranoia. He was afraid somebody was going to take his kingdom. He felt somebody was going to take his stuff. So he had it out for Jesus. So Jesus had to be on the move. But Andrew, the only way that Jesus could be on the move, because he's a baby, right, was for his parents to be on the move. And the only way for them to be on the move is that they had to obey angels. So these angels come and they're telling Joseph what to do. Joseph doesn't have time to say, okay, you want me to go where? All right, hold on, let me go and pray. You know how you ask somebody, hey, can you do this for me? Oh, well, let me pray on it. Well, see, Joseph didn't have that luxury because Jesus was in danger, right? King Herod never met Jesus. He never saw Jesus. He never knew Jesus' parents. He never been to his home. He never had a conversation with Jesus, but he hated him. And he hated him so much, he wanted all of the boy babies dead. So Joseph had some decisions to make, and he didn't have long to make it. Here we have God's plan unfolding under obedience then. Because God, Pastor, last week you said God doesn't want your ability, he wants your availability. And if you make yourself available, God will enable you and empower you to do what he wants you to do. The one thing I never wanted to be in the church was a preacher. I thought I made a pretty good usher. I knew how to read the cues of what was going on. I could look at the people, and I knew who needed tissue and stuff like that. I thought I made a great usher. But that is not what God wanted me to do. I also thought I made a pretty good deacon. I was a deacon in the church one time. I was a good deacon. I was faithful. All the requirements of deacon, I met it. Met with the pastor. I did all that. I was a good deacon. But it just wasn't what God wanted me to do. And God troubled my spirit until I answered his call. And so God wants to trouble all of us this morning because there's something that he wants you to do. He does not want your sacrifice. He doesn't want you to bring 5 bags of food to the food pantry if he wants you to be an elder. Okay? He doesn't want you typing for somebody in the church if he wants you up here reading. Okay? God wants you to be obedient. The Word of God says obedience is better than sacrifice, because sometimes sacrifice can be pretty easy. Like me, I would rather fast than preach, because I can fast all day long. I can not eat, no problem, right? But that is not what God requires of me, because when I fast, I'm not serving him the way that he wants me to serve him. So Joseph, I want you to think about him as not just Jesus' earthly father, but the obedient man that makes it possible for Jesus to live. Because remember, Jesus is in danger. So my first point this morning is that Jesus wants us to get away from danger. Joseph obeys the angel command and he flees from Egypt. Problem. Joseph, he was just a carpenter. He had never been there before. He had never been to Egypt. So God is calling us out of our comfort zone to do some things that we don't know how to do. But he's going to give you the ability to do it. He's going to take you some places that you may not want to go. He'll take you some places you never thought that you would go. And you'll go there on his behalf, all right? So Jesus wants you to get away from the danger, because the only way God can get you away from danger is if you move. If you stand still, you will be susceptible to the danger. You have to leave behind what feels safe, and you have to trust God for what he knows is a safe haven for your life. Sometimes faith means trusting God enough to step away from harmful places or situations. Some of us have some harmful people, some toxic people in our life. And we won't step away from them because we listen to traditions of the world, stuff like blood is thicker than water. Okay, what does that mean? They have a different viscosity, but that doesn't mean anything. If God wants me to move away from it, I'm gone, okay? So God wants you to step away from things that are harmful, but they are things that you're used to. And you stay in your comfort zone and you deal with the toxicity of the situation just because you're used to it. And God says, no, I want you to move away from harmful places or situations. There was a man named Job, and he lived in the land of Ur. And Job eschewed, he moved away from anything that even looked evil. Job prayed for his children even when they didn't sin. He sent up prayers ahead of time and said, I know they're my children. I know they're foolish. They'll do things. So I'm praying to you, God, protect them. They really don't mean them. I'll correct it. So Job did everything to stay away from evil. And that's what God wants us to know today. He wants us to stay away from evil. God also wants us to get away from destruction. Had Joseph stayed where he was, the baby Jesus, you wouldn't be able to celebrate it. We wouldn't be saved, because he wanted to kill all of the male babies. Just to get to one baby, He wanted to kill all of the male babies. He massacred innocent children because evil seeks to steal, kill, and destroy us. The devil would like to steal your joy. I think they call it depression. But we say he steals your joy. God has, it says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. It didn't say I'm happy because I go to Chuck E. Cheese or Dave and Buster's or because I went to Buffalo Wild Wings and watched the game and had a few beers. No, it says the joy of the Lord is my strength. And if the joy is coming from the Lord, then Satan doesn't have the right to steal that joy. Because this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. And the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. Because this joy comes from God. It comes from God. It comes from my love of God. It comes from me trusting God. It comes from me moving away from danger. Even when danger seems fun, I have to move away from danger. Even when danger looks good, I have to move away from danger. Even when danger is going to fill my pockets full of money, God said, move away from the danger. And as I move away from the danger, I also move away from the destruction. Well, you say, isn't danger, Steve, the same thing as destruction? Absolutely not. See, I can't put my hands on danger. Danger is a concept. Danger is something that will come. I can warn you of the danger, but once the danger hits, then it becomes destruction, obliteration. So you have to trust God to stop you from destruction. Some of that destruction comes from the enemy, and some of that destruction comes from us. Thinking that we're always right. We always have the right way. Thinking that because the way we were raised were the best way. Thinking that the culture that we're in is the best culture that ever was. And we judge everybody by their culture. God says, move away from that destructive thinking. That's divisive thinking. That'll make you think that other people, other ethnicities, those people are not good. God said, move away from that. That's destructive. Because we all need each other. Amen? Somebody just came up and testified that somebody in the family was sick, and the prayers of the saint healed the sick. It didn't say the prayers of the white, the black, the Italian, the Spanish. It said the prayers of the sick helped make that family member whole. Get away from destruction. God said, I'm going to save you from destruction. He said, I'm going to save you because if I don't, you're going to destroy yourself. And we have destructive habits, and God wants us to move away from it. Because when we move away from destruction because of this world of violence, God calls us to resist destruction by clinging to hope. When it seems hopeless, we cling to the hope. Karen, that's why this year's Back to Bethlehem was better than last year's Bethlehem. Karen, that's why before there was a Back to Bethlehem, you had to figure out what does a Back to Bethlehem look like. You had to cling to hope. If one or two people came to the first one and you said, I think we should scratch that event because we're not getting much, you know, it's not a lot of people attending, then we wouldn't have had what we had on the 13th of December. Do I have the date right? Was that the 13th of December we did the Back to Bethlehem? On the 13th of December, you have to cling to the hope in the middle of the destruction, and then you have to get away from it. You have to get away from it. The last thing God wants you to do is when you get away from the danger, the warning of danger, the appearance of danger, when you get away from destruction, God will allow you to get away to your destiny. I never thought that I would come to a church an hour away from where I live. Do you know how many churches I passed? They have Lutheran churches where I live. I even know the pastors, they have Lutheran churches. But one day, God said, tell your daughter to be independent and get her own church. So I talked to her, I said, I want you to be independent. I want you to get a church. I want you to go there your own. I want you to know the people. I want you to introduce yourself to the pastor. Then when me and your mother come up, I want you to introduce us to your church family. She said, that's a good idea. I think I need to do that. And she said, well, what church do I choose? I said, what's the church that let you park on their parking lot when you were a freshman and you shouldn't have had a car? She said, oh, it's that church right up there. I said, well, then go to that church right up there. And that was this church. So we came here with her to help her get established. She never joined. We wind up joining the church. And so God said, I want you to get away to your destiny, because had it not been for that will, I would have gone to a church down the street. But that is not the destiny God had for me. He had to have me meet a will so I could know that I did not know how to golf. He had to have me meet a Karen so she could put the pressure on for a booth. You know what I mean, Patty? She had to have me meet all of you all so that I can be inspired, so that I could feel the love. I had to meet a John Schiller. I had to meet a Dan. I had to be in the praise band. All these things, it was destined, because I didn't plan it. And when I look back, I don't know how it happened. Just like I don't know how come I couldn't pay a bill for that little money. Just like I don't know how come a mechanic couldn't get a little nut screw off of a wheel of a car. He was a professional. I feel like he should be able to get a nut off a car. It didn't seem like a big thing to me, but he couldn't do it. And so God said, I got some people I want you to meet. I got some places I want you to go. I want to know Mike and his whole family. I want to meet Paula so people can stop calling the name Paula when it's really Paula. He wants me to meet those people. He wants me to stop calling Claire Mom and call her Claire, because that's her name. God said, this is in the works for you. This is what I have for you to do. I said, God, does it have to be so far away? He said, I tell you what. He said, the day you can't afford gas, don't go. So you know I can afford gas, right? Because I'm here. So I thank God. So God wants you to get away to your destiny. So Joseph goes to Galilee, and there's a little town in Galilee, and it's called Nazareth. Very obscure. They even have a saying. They say, can anything good come from Nazareth? Like, nothing good happened out of Nazareth. Nazareth was nothing. But here, the Savior of the world, parents, take him to that little place, and lo and behold, there's a prophecy. And the prophecy says, I have it right here, that the Son of Man shall be called a Nazarene. And a Nazarene is a person from Nazareth. And Joseph didn't even know it. He knew it as much as I knew that I'd be standing here talking to you today. Talking to you today. You don't need somebody to come and prophesy and tell you what God wants you to do. Surrender to God and say, God, I'll do whatever you tell me to do. And whatever you don't tell me to do, I won't do it. I won't do it. I'm available. Show me. He'll show me. And he's shown you just like he's shown me. That's why you all are sitting here today. And I always say it every time I preach. I know it sounds like a broken record. But you came here today in the church. I know I say it all the time, Brandon. You came in the church. You came to that door. You don't own this building, but you walked in just like you owned it. You came in this church because you have a destiny, because it's something God has for you to do. And it's something that God has for you to do. We may never see it. It may not even be in this church. It may be something that you do on your own. Like, I'm not saying no names, but I know somebody here that goes downtown and feeds the homeless people. They walk down Martin Luther King Boulevard and give them food until the food is gone. And they take their children with. God has something for you to do. If he didn't have anything for you to do, Patty, you wouldn't bring your whole family here. Jay, you wouldn't bring your whole family here. If it was danger here, if it was destruction here. And they walked in the door too. They just opened the door and walked in. And the only way you did that is because you have a relationship with somebody here. And you are not related to Pastor Okai, because your last name is not Okai. And this is not the Church of Okai. This is the Holy Nativity Church. You walked in because you had a relationship with God, and you want him to show you what your destiny is. That's how I got here. Joseph, Jesus, Mary, they were in trouble. It was serious. They were looking for him, and they said, when you see him and they got the baby, kill him. Now, you know if they were killing babies, they were killing parents too, because parents are going to stand in front of their parents, right? They'll stand in front to protect their children. Herod said, kill him, because he was politically paranoid that this guy was going to take over his kingdom. But I want to let you know today, and I decree it and I declare it, that what God has for you is for you. And nobody can take it away. No form of murder, nothing can take it away. And God is waiting for you to step up and fulfill your destiny, whatever that may be. We're in trouble. I went to a service last Saturday, and I'm going to sit down. And the service was like a memorial service. And they said an opening prayer, and then they said a scripture. They read a scripture. And after that, I didn't hear anything about God. Oh, my God. You talking about driving me crazy? I was ready to get up there and preach up something strong. You know, I'm like, how are you going to leave the Lord out? Because even though the person is great, God brought them to greatness. God blessed them. So we're in as much trouble as Joseph, because they're trying to move God out. They're trying to find ways to move God out. But let us say today that we're going to move away from danger, and we're going to move away from destruction, and we're going to move towards God's destiny. And don't be afraid that it's a big job. God's job for you could just be consoling somebody who's grieving. It could just be for you to give a word. You could pat somebody on the back and say, you know what? You're doing a good job. God wants to. Nobody has ever said that to them. You may be in a group. I was at McDonald's. I was coming through Northeast, and I was in the McDonald's, and something was going on. I didn't know what was going on. And I went up to the lady. I said, excuse me, I don't know what's going on here, but can I pray for you? And she said, yeah, I'm standing there at McDonald's praying. And she started crying. I never knew what the problem was. I just know what God called me to do. I know what my destiny is. So I thank God, and I hope that these words bring encouragement to you. I hope they bring strength to you. I hope they bring boldness to you, that you just get right up and go to Will or go to Pastor, say, I'm ready. I'm ready to do something for God. And the pastor say, okay, well, what you ready to do for God? You're going to say, I don't know. But he's going to use the scriptures, and he's going to find out what it is that God has for you to do. Just stand up for God and be blessed. Amen. Amen. Bless you.